All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. What's up?
What's up?
Oh, brother. Man. Hey, so David, I know we have a lot to talk about, and we got a lot of important stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk to everyone about how we're recording this show right now, because that's fun. But before we do, we got to give a big shout out.
Oh boy.
To my boy. Do you remember a number of weeks ago, I told you it was going to be a busy spring for me, a lot of traveling and stuff, because I was going to be going out to Seattle for my nephew's wedding.
Oh man.
That was my first big trip. Well, his wedding was yesterday.
So
shout out to Gabriel and Olga. Congratulations on their beautiful, beautiful wedding ceremony. What they did was, because they're limited, you can only have 10 people, right, at a time.
Okay.
So they only had 10 people at the wedding, which included the videographer and the priest and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was a tiny wedding, but their parents were able to be there, and they were able to be there, and there was nothing the coronavirus could take away from how happy you could see these two kids were. It was really cool. So then all the friends and family from around the country that had been planning to attend, and of course from around their hometown of Bellingham, everybody was, the church set up a live stream. So we were all able to watch the wedding from home in real time.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it was super cool. And it was funny because we all said, so me and the girls and Amy, you know, we all said like, oh man, I wish I was there. I wish I was at the wedding. Like, clearly that would have been the better thing. Like, I wish none of this had happened and we had all been out at the wedding.
Right.
But with that being said, like, it was pretty cool being on my couch.
Live streaming a wedding.
In my sweatpants.
You didn't have to get dressed up.
I'm saying, you know, I was wearing shorts, I was having a snack, you know. When the preacher was talking, I was on my phone a little bit. You know? There was no, you know, before and after small talk and all that fun stuff.
Hey, it's like you got the better end of the deal.
I'm just saying, you know? No disrespect, because like I said, clearly, I would much, much rather have been there. I'm just saying it wasn't awful. But big shout out to Gabriel and Olga. Congratulations. Wishing you many, many, many years of wedded bliss up there in the great Pacific Northwest. And congratulations to my brother, too, because, you know, it's not super easy being father of the groom or father of the bride, because you got the wedding party going crazy, you got your wife going crazy, you know, and you're trying to sort of manage it all. So kudos to everybody involved. Congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely. Congrats.
That's our lead story.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else going on in the movie world.
Right. And of course, we're playing it safe. We're both at our respective houses and Skyping in, so the audio quality is what it is. I think people will just live with it. But, yeah,
I got
here
you,
we are.
I got you on full, like, I maximized my screen. That's a Watch lot of out. David coming at me.
Get ready. It feels closer than we normally sit.
That's exactly right, yeah. And yeah. I appreciate, you know, we should describe our settings a little bit. As you mentioned when we first logged on, I got my, what did you call it?
Your certificate to podcast.
My certificate to podcast proudly displayed in the background. So
right, right. Which is clearly a diploma of some sort.
I was set up in Amy's office.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that is her doctoral degree on the wall.
Whoa.
Back there. Dr. Ketchum. Yep.
So anyone could just walk out with it.
Right. But as soon as my podcast, my certificate to podcast arrives in the mail,
yeah,
I sent for it 6 to 8 weeks ago, so I expect it to arrive.
It should be any day.
Any moment. So, David, before we get into it, I'm on day 7 of my quarantine. The girls and I are here home. We, as you know, we shut down the theater, and that was sort of it. And the last day that we showed movies was last Sunday. And then I went in Monday morning, just met with Drew and Joel and Bob, and we went through, you know, what we need to do over the coming months. But, or weeks, I should say. But you've been going to work. What's that like? What's the deal there?
It's weird. Okay, so I work in an essential business. We transport food for all the grocery stores around the States. So...
Hero is a term. I mean...
Yeah. I don't want to say I'm a big deal, but you wouldn't be eating without me. No, the real heroes are these truckers who are just, I mean, not only are they putting their lives on the line, you know, exposing themselves out there, but like they're not getting treated very well in this, like, not like anyone's disrespecting them specifically or anything, but they're driving and like their truck stops are closed and their gas stations are closed. So they've got nowhere to stop. They don't have any place to like really take a rest or get like any decent food on the road. And then they get to these, warehouses, and the warehouses won't let them in the building and won't let them use the bathrooms.
Brutal.
And so they're just like, I mean, and it's understandable because the people mostly exposed are the ones traveling all over the place, but it's kind of, it's a difficult spot to be, especially in our office where we've now limited, you know, we've now asked them not to come into the greater part of the office, to only come to the front desk and, you know, trying to be respectful, but at the same time protect the people still having to come in every day. 'Cause truth be told, I mean, one case of this stuff hits my office and we're all just, you know, we're just out.
Yeah.
So, and then the business would just be, I don't know, would be out of commission for some time. But, so yeah, I'm still going to work, but the crazy thing is there's no one on the roads.
Right.
Which is kind of like a no man's land. 'Cause like, you know, I'm going down Route 30 and I'm going, you know, the speed limit's 40. I'm doing like 50, 55. People doing like 70, 80, just like blaring past me. And I'm like, well, why do you need to go that fast?
What's the rush?
Come on. like you're fine.
Yeah.
So,
well, I know, I have a couple routes that I like to run. But I only run them on Saturday and Sunday before the sun comes up because I'm worried about traffic. So if I get up really early and do, you know, we've talked about this before. I like to do a pre-dawn run. And but now, I mean, I'm running them at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, and it's no problem because there's no cars.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. Well, so anyway, we're all up to speed on the Rona. What do you call it? We call it the Rona in my house.
Marley, the Rona.
Yeah, Marley calls it the Rona.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, Marley and Kayla, we don't want to get the Rona.
The Corona jokes have been running rampant at work.
Yeah.
Just the beer jokes. But,
well, you call that gallows humor. You know, you don't mean any disrespect or anything like that. But, you know, it's like that Jimmy Buffett song. If we can't laugh, we're all going insane.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Speaking of laughing.
Yeah, let's get to it. We got some news?
Segue. Actually, this is no laughing matter, and this is an interesting thing. China's Film Bureau and the state-backed studio China and the state-backed studio China Film Group are working to give cinemas in China the go-ahead to screen some of the country's biggest blockbusters for free, letting the venues keep 100% of the ticket revenue. And then Deadline also reports that Warner Brothers is planning to re-release Harry Potter, which did massively well in China, as well as some other already pre-censor-approved movies to kind of help boost sales. However, the Universal stuff, there's no guarantee that that'll fall under the 100% ticket revenue thing. I think that is a pretty awesome deal that they got going on. It's kind of, I don't know if something like that is even feasible in the States, but, you know, it's good for the theater owners.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is kind of different. Like, when the state when I say state in the formal sense, you know, when the government of a given country can just carte blanche, you know, when you're an authoritarian, you know, communist country and you can just do stuff, you know, then I guess that, you know, then that works, you know.
But, yeah.
You know, there's no way that would work here. What's interesting about that story is, and they've been quiet in America, all the other studios have been making news, and we'll get to some of that and, you know, sort of doing their thing. But Warner Brothers has been relatively quiet. I do have a news story about Wonder Woman 1984, which we'll talk about in a minute. But what's interesting about that is I think it'll be really interesting how the studios, like me and my colleagues, we're all talking about, hey, you got to make decisions, you got to, you know, support the industry and support the theater owners so that we're here on the other side of this and that we don't go out of business. And that's all well and good, and it's certainly true. But I'm also aware of the fact that studios are also, you know, big business, that, you know, we need to respect the fact that they need to be viable on the other side of this as well. You know, yeah. What I mean, some of my friends in exhibition are going crazy, you know, like, oh, I can't really, like, for example, STX recent, here's another quick news story. STX announced that Brahms Boy, or what was that movie? Boy Brahms, or
remember? Yeah, Brahms colon the Boy Too, or
something it's coming out on video, right? And they've been very sort of proactive, saying, hey, this is only a one-time thing, and I think, you know, like some of the other movies, even Onward and stuff like that, are all of a sudden going to be available on demand and stuff like that. But I think that, and so my point is that some of my friends that own theaters are going crazy, like, all these studios are killing us and they're ripping us off and this is insane. This is a whole new world, and I think that we theater owners, as much as we need help, and we do, but the studios, you know, they got bills to pay. They've spent hundreds of millions of dollars on production, and they got shit to deal with, and we want them to be viable on the other side of this as well. So, I just feel like you got to really see, you got to see the whole picture. You got to see both sides. Nobody comes out of this unhurt, you know. So that story about the China Film Group is interesting. What I would love to see is some studios step forward with, like, here's, like, for example, Warner. So I'll just do one of my news stories. Warner Brothers has confirmed that Wonder Woman 1984 will go to theaters. It will not be available on streaming. They confirmed that to IndieWire. And so there's an example of, like, let's have Wonder Woman 1984 released under so-called normal terms, whenever that is, I don't know, October, November, something like that. But how about for 2 weeks before that, we re-release, you know, some other DC content, you know, maybe the first Wonder Woman, and maybe the terms are like 35%, which is, you know, the typical term for, like, classic movies or whatever. So I think there's an opportunity. Studios don't have to go whole hog and let us keep 100% of film rent. But I think there's an opportunity, if the studios are thoughtful about it, that they can not only get full bang for their movies that are coming out, like Wonder Woman 1984, but then also use the strength of their library to help theater owners. That's my thought.
So some more of this, what this article would say that I didn't put in the notes here, was that I guess things are kind of supposedly coming back to a normal in China, and the theaters are starting to reopen, and something like, I guess last week's revenue was only like $1,000 or something, and of all the theaters that open, because they're opening but no one's going out. I guess they're still in the quarantine state of mind, which is understandable because it was massively bad.
Well, I think, and that's something, you know, we'll save as a topic for next week or maybe the week after, but I think that that's going to be a real question for me, is once we're all allowed back out of the house again, like, I don't want to be the first place that's back up and running. You know what I mean?
Right.
I kind of want to be the last place. You know, I want, you know, I just want to be careful about it. First of all, because I want, you know, it's not like we're going to wake up one day and they're going to be like, all right, cool, we're done, it's over, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and so I don't want to contribute, you know, if we're starting, if we do get a turn, or I should say, when we get to a turning point and it starts to ramp down, I don't want to screw that up by rushing to open. But at the same time, of course, I got bills to pay and banks, you know, to make happy. So that'll be a very interesting conversation, that balance of once you're allowed to open, how long is it from the day you're allowed to open to the day that you actually open, you know, and what's in there. Drew and I were having a funny conversation about what the hell are we going to play?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, especially in a situation like a movie theater, like you can open your doors, but you have to have something people want to come out and see. So,
and yeah, I think there's some, you know, certainly what theaters provide, I've always said this, we've talked about this on the show before, the theaters provide in many ways, in some ways, the content is secondary to the fact that people want to get out and do something together and go be amused and go be entertained. And right. if it happens to be a movie that was out 3 months ago or whatever like that, then not that it would be good for business, but I think, you know, we will provide something and that'll be better than zero.
Right. Well, here's something that I'm happy there was zero of.
Speaking of
segue, Cats, the movie, they reported that they apparently had to spend months removing buttholes on the cats that were really originally part of CG models. This was a big news story this week. There's not a lot going on, so of course everyone's talking about this. But then it turns out, no wait, they didn't remove digital buttholes, and thank you to Mystery Gobble for also pointing this out. But it turns out that they did have to remove some CG overlapping that made it look like there was things under the fur.
I just love how this movie just keeps a given.
Don't you kind of want to see it now?
I kind of do.
I'm so curious.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you got?
Well, we should have talked about this a minute ago when we were talking all grown up. But I'll bring it up now. We'll take us back for a real quick second. There's one iconic, legendary film director who is squarely in our corner. My favorite guy, Christopher Nolan. And he wrote an open letter to the Washington Post saying that the business of movie going will need our help. And I think it was a really great letter because it wasn't just like, oh, save the movie theaters. But it was more, it shined a light on all the people who are involved in the business of movie theaters. So in other words, it's not just me, it's not the owners of Regal, it's not all those guys, but there's an entire population of people who are ushers and concessions, and you know, you think of high school kids and stuff like that, but there are also certainly adults, you know, working in the exhibition industry, you know, much like you see, you know, waitresses you know, sort of other people in the service industry. And I think the point Christopher Nolan was trying to make was it's not about Christopher Nolan or Brad Pitt or Christian Bale or, you know, anything like that. It's about, you know, the men and women who are working and counting on that as a paycheck. So I thought it was a well-written article. You should Google it if you want to read it. I think Christopher Nolan, as always, is an incredibly articulate and thoughtful guy. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was another interesting news story that has nothing to do with anything, but I thought it was just interesting. Have you ever heard of a guy named William Paul Clark? Do you know who that is?
No. No. Is he my new hero?
What?
Is he my new hero?
It's just interesting. It's one of those things like, have you ever heard of Quentin Tarantino?
Maybe.
It rings a bell, right?
Oh, you know, I'm more familiar with this guy by his street name, Willie PC.
All right. Billy PC. Yeah. Well, it turns out that William Paul Clark is Quentin Tarantino's longtime assistant director.
Okay.
So there's this guy who has been Quentin Tarantino's right-hand man, so to speak, for all these years. Now, you and I have just been watching these movies and making smart-ass comments about Tarantino and having our own opinions about him. But I thought this news article was a little bit interesting because it reminded me that for every brilliant, you know, sort of legendary director or even actor or whatever, businessman, businesswoman, whatever, there's a small handful of people around them, you know, who are critical to making everything happen and run smoothly, and also people who are incredibly influential in how that person or those people think. So this guy, William Paul Clark, is apparently that guy to Quentin Tarantino. In other words, he is his right-hand man. He's trusted with all the dirty secrets. And the news, the article that came out, the news that came out was that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's ending, remember Once Upon a Time in Hollywood had to do with the Manson murders?
Yeah.
But then the movie itself had a different ending. There were no Manson murders because Brad Pitt DiCaprio killed all the bad guys in his pool.
Yeah.
Right?
With a flamethrower.
Right. And so that alternative ending was Tarantino wanted it to be kept secret in the script. So the script was kept in the accounting department in a safe. And I just thought that was like a brilliant is Tarantino writing his scripts on a typewriter?
Probably.
Whips out the piece of paper and puts it in a sealed envelope and writes confidential on it and puts it in the safe.
I wonder if they kept it super under wraps and they were like, oh, I just need to come check on my balancing reports and make sure, you know, this totally belongs in the accounting safe.
I just think that's pretty cool. I love hearing that kind of stuff really, real life. That's how he's fighting espionage, you know,
right.
And I love the fact that there's a guy, William Paul Clark, who, you know, is sort of charged with, I love the fact that we've never heard of him.
You're right.
You know what I mean? He's keeping all the biggest secrets and nobody knows
Unsung
who he
hero.
Is. And he probably loves it that way. And I wonder, you know, something is afoot in Tarantino land that William Paul Clark now is giving interviews and, you know, sort of out there. I don't know. Are we the only – let's podcast at PennCinema.com if you already knew who William Paul Clark was. Because maybe we're just in the dark.
How could we be? I felt like we knew everyone in Hollywood. This is the last guy.
That's inconceivable that we would not know this guy. All right. We got some X-Men news.
Yeah, this is big news.
You want to walk us through that?
Yeah. So, the New Mutants director, Josh Boone, says he's not worried about negative reviews for New Mutants because you can only go up after Dark Phoenix, after the bomb of Dark Phoenix. Better to open X-Men spinoff after Dark Phoenix than before it.
Is it, though?
I forget that Dark Phoenix was a thing. It was that underwhelming to me that it's I block it out of my mind.
I think, all right.
It's not like Suicide Squad where I kind of hate it. It's kind of like I just reserved myself that it's horrible and don't acknowledge it exists anymore.
All right, I'm going to say something totally unfair.
Uh-oh.
And I apologize to all the good men and women who, you know, I know it's unfair, and I'm sorry. But you picked a bad project because, in my mind, New Mutants is already worse than Dark Phoenix, even if it's better.
Yeah, you're probably right.
This movie, they've tried to kill this movie seven times.
Yeah, it just won't die.
They should have released it in the middle of the coronavirus, and then they could have been oh, well, you know.
I don't know why anyone came out.
Right. They should release it. If they had any brains, they'd release it in China right now.
Here's the thing. They could have released it on home video and been well, you know, we tried to do theatrical, but.
Right.
you
they
know?
Should do anything in their power to prevent, like, to quick take their losses.
I just love how he's reached a point of apathy that he just doesn't care anymore.
If the coronavirus has taught me anything, it's that things can always get worse. Like, business was slow, and we were like, well, they can't close all of us down. And Rona was like, hold my beer.
Rona. Oh, I love it. Oh, man.
All right. We do have a bright spot. Well, first of all, I should tell you, Penn Cinema has a new policy.
Oh.
We updated Section 7, Paragraph 12 of our policy book.
Paragraph 12?
Yeah. And as you know, that's the paragraph that determines what we refer to each studio as.
Oh, okay.
So in paragraph 12, section 7, previously the studio called Universal was known as Universal.
Oh.
But now we refer to them as Comcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why is that? Because Comcast owns them?
Well,
obviously.
I honestly, what movie was it that there was
Trolls?
They made Trolls available on demand at home. Pissed me right off.
Yeah, because you were really looking forward to that one.
But it was actually. I'm going to stand by my new policy, but I have to say, I was upset about Trolls prior to my epiphany about the fact that studios do also have to take care of themselves. You know what I mean? Like, so, I got an email from my guy at Comcast. This was back when I still called it Universal. And he said, actually, you know what? I'm going to tell the whole story because I took a hard, insensitive position. And then there was another news story that I'm about to report on, which is why we're on the topic of Universal.
Okay.
And that news story really brings Universal back to where, you know, it restored some faith for me. So the original thing that set me off was Trolls. And then I got another email from my guy at Universal that said, good morning, I just want to make you aware that Minions, that's a big freaking movie, David.
Yeah, that's big.
Minions, previously set for July 3rd, that's a big freaking weekend. Fourth of July weekend.
There's a holiday that weekend.
Yeah, big one. So he writes me and says, good morning, just wanted to make you aware that Minions, previously set for July 3rd, is now unset. Updates to follow. To which I replied, okay, sounds good. Can't wait to watch it on Comcast next week. to which he replied, and in fairness to him, it was the only acceptable reply. Because let's review how he could have replied. He could have replied with pure hate, you know, like, oh, Penn, you're a jerk, you don't understand, blah, 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 blah. Or he could have replied as, like, sycophant, like, kissing up. You know, he could have been like, oh, Penn, please understand, you know, we're really, you know. But neither one of those positions appeals to me. So he replied with the only appropriate reply that I find acceptable. He just wrote back and said, oh, funny guy. So I said, I can't wait to watch it on Comcast next week. And he wrote back, funny guy. Now, the reason why I'm revising my previously hostile position on Universal is because of this news story. This is what got us started talking about Universal in the first place.
Yeah.
Universal postponed the July 3rd release of Minions: The Rise of Gru. It becomes the first post-production casualty of the global pandemic. So in other words, up until Minions, all of the other titles were moved because the studios were worried that nobody would come see them.
Mm-hmm.
Minions, I now understand, was moved because they can't finish it.
Oh.
So the guy who is in charge of finishing it is based in Paris, and his production facility has been shut down.
Okay.
So it's not that they're leaving theater owners in the dark, or that they're worried about July 3rd, or, you know, that they're being greedy or anything. It's a, like it said, it's the first post-production casualty of the global pandemic. So the guy who's in charge of finishing it in the production studios apparently is in Paris, and his whole studio is shut down. So with that, I'm going to revoke the revision to paragraph 12 and go back to calling them Universal.
Because verse 12 will never be the same.
No, it'll be 12.B now. it'll be 12B revised.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. This is the first. We've heard a lot of them in production get stopped, but not much of post-production stuff. That's interesting.
Yeah, and the ones that were stopped in production have not lost their release date yet.
Oh.
I mean, it's only a matter of time. They will. They will lose their release, you know, or I should say some of them will. But some of them are far enough out that they'll be able to make up time later. Or at least that's, you know, that's your hope.
Right.
All right, well, you got any trailers to review? Or you got more news?
No, let's move on to trailers. Right. We got a couple. I distinctly know what my trailer of the week is.
I knew what it was last week when we reviewed it.
Oh, snap. This is the one I didn't get to watch.
Right.
All right. I'll give it that. I was like, why does this sound familiar? And now I know. I pulled a pen.
Yeah.
All right. So let's start off with We Summon the Darkness from your new favorite studio, Saban Films.
Saban Films. Cinnabon.
This is Cinnabon Films.
Cinnabon Films.
So this is, I guess it's a horror comedy? What'd you get from it?
I didn't see the comedy other than the fact that it looked so, I don't want to say bad, but...
What? That's how I took it, like so bad it's funny type of movie. Like a schlock. You think it's serious?
Okay.
You think it's serious? Because if it's serious, then we got a problem.
You know, David, far be it from me to judge, you know.
Heaven forbid.
Right. I'm not one to throw studios under the bus. But this film, We Summon the Darkness. All right, moving on. Inheritance from Vertical Entertainment.
Yeah.
What do you think of this?
Well, first off, you think this is a video on demand? Because it said a big DirecTV thing at the beginning.
Yeah. Pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
But it looked, honestly, it looked good. Like, I honestly made a mental note. Like, I don't know, I would watch this. You know, it looks scary.
Did you get that was Simon Pegg?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I didn't pick up on it.
I'm sorry. I did, but only because I did what I often do, which is while the trailer's running, I'll pull up in a different window the list of the cast and the, you know, try to orient myself.
Right. While you could be watching the trailer, you're researching it instead.
Right.
I gotcha. I follow where you're coming
at. It's a little thing I like to call research, David.
Well, let's not start anything new here.
who wrote us in that listener note weeks and weeks ago, and they were like, they made some kind of comment about, like, God forbid these guys research. God forbid they do 5 minutes of research before the show.
I feel like everyone's told us that. Yeah.
Well, I take it to heart, you know, trying to do the right thing.
Yeah. Well, I agree. This looked like a TV movie, but it was, it's an interesting premise.
Yes.
She has this somewhat perfect, quote unquote, father.
Yes.
And when he passes her away, it turns out he has all these secrets, including a bunker where he has some guy locked up.
Right.
Why? We don't know. She doesn't know.
Yeah. And there's a family lawyer who's willing to take secrets to the grave.
Yeah. I mean, what family doesn't have one of those?
I was just going to say, I don't have the family lawyer, and I also don't have any secrets that need to go to the grave, but I think I'm going to put that on my bucket list.
You need to, like, Like, you need to come up with secrets. Like, you know, you should see Trolls too, and then never, like, tell anyone, right. And that'll be, like, the big secret. And in your will, they'll pull it out. Like, he never told you this, but he saw Trolls 2 opening day.
It could be, like, released 50 years after his death.
Right.
All right. We go in at dawn.
Yeah.
A British World War II movie currently available on Amazon.com.
Oh, is it?
I don't know. That's what I found in my research. Can we just pause, though?
Yeah.
It is interesting, like we were talking at the beginning of the show, or as they say in the business, at the top of the show.
Whoa. You earned that certificate.
Yes. Yeah. I took the test. I took the quiz. But we were talking at the top of the show about how eerie it is. Like, you were driving to work and you didn't see anybody and the roads are empty. And I'm talking about running on empty roads and stuff.
Yeah.
However you use that word, whatever word you use to describe that sensation, I feel the same way about trailers. Like, there's tons of news about the movie business and what's the latest, and, you know, what production got delayed, what release date got lost, you know, blah, blah, blah. You heard they pushed Black Widow back, right? I mean, that's not news.
Right.
But
yeah.
Whatever word you use to describe that phenomenon, which eerie might be the best word that I can come up with, it's weird to me, the lack of new trailers. You know what I mean? Which just shows you, like, how the business has stopped temporarily. But nonetheless, clearly the business has stopped, you know, sort of their normal routine.
Right. From a marketing part of it, I think, is probably there's probably not people there to make the trailers. But another part, I think, on a marketing standpoint, it's probably good to sit on that.
Right.
And then as soon as things, like, liven up, just flood the market with your stuff. So if you do it now, people will forget about it.
Right. So I think Quiet Place will be Quiet Place 2 will probably end up getting a streaming release, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not.
Really?
Maybe not.
I thought that was a hit, though.
Oh, it was a huge hit. It had they were projecting an $88 million weekend opening.
I could see them sitting on it.
Okay, so let's say they sit on it, and let's use that as an example. That, No Time to Die, and less so the Black Widow and Mulan franchises, because those are kind of, I don't know why, they just feel different. But a movie like, let's just use Quiet Place.
Okay.
Do you make new trailers? How do you nod to the fact that this movie was minutes away from being released 6 months ago? Like, for example, they already had the trade screening. You know, like, how do you handle... Though it'll be interesting, I guess it's a rhetorical question, and I'm just saying, like, it'll be interesting when the time comes how trailers are made to promote a new movie that was moments away from being opened 6 months ago. And do you have to speak to the fact that, you know, I bet you there's some creative types who can find a fun way to speak to that.
Right. I almost don't know if they need to, you know, like, from my perspective, just start putting the trailers back out,
yeah,
and with a new date.
Yeah.
And I think everyone, it's not like a scenario where people aren't aware what's going on.
Right. That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone knows what's happening and the theaters are closed. So, you know, no one's going to be like, well, I thought that was coming out last month. It's like, you know, yeah, they're going to understand.
Okay, so our last trailer is one that I talked about last week, but you had not had the chance to see.
Yeah, so, Arkansas or Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Yeah. This looks great.
Yeah.
It's funny. The acting looks awesome. I just love the idea of them being, like, bad Southern hit or drug dealers, runners. And the fact that they're just like, the big guy doesn't know that we're doing these side jobs, so it doesn't really matter until the side jobs catch up to him, start causing problems. So,
I think this has the potential to be one of those movies that opens up okay, you know, maybe it does 16 million or 20 million, you know, something like that. But then, you know, I think it's the kind of movie that years from now you're still watching. You know, or I'm just saying it has that potential, you know.
It has a feel like, what was the movie with Adam Driver and Daniel Craig that came out last year? Where they were like Southern guys and they broke them out of the jail.
Yes.
And it looked hilarious and it turned out to just be kind of...
Okay.
Okay. This has that same type of film feel.
Right.
But I feel like this will actually be funny.
Right, right. You hope that this ends up being in a category with like Layer Cake or Snatch or, you know, something like that. You hope that it ends up, that it goes down that road.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right, well, that's it for trailers. That was my trailer of the week, your trailer of last week. let's move on to listener notes. Ron wrote in, and this is a response from last week when we were talking about if Scream was a parody or how to classify it. Ron says, I think the main difference between a horror parody and the Scream franchise is that Scream pokes fun at some horror tropes, where horror parodies, such as Scary Movie franchise, pokes fun at the horror suspense genre as a whole.
Fair.
Yeah. I think that sets it up pretty good.
You got a doorbell happening?
No, it's... I live near the hospital, so you get a lot, like hospital trucks making noises. So. Yeah, I think that's perfect. So
thanks to Ron for writing that in. That was helpful. That was interesting. It makes me want to rewatch some of those horror movies.
You know what? I've never seen Scream.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay.
How do you feel
rewatched,
about that?
I rewatched Halloween, the new one, where Jamie Lee Curtis is old.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I didn't love it. And the evidence of the fact that I didn't love it is that I watched quite a bit of it on Fast Forward.
Did you watch it when it was out? Had you seen it before?
I had seen it before, but I don't think I did. I did not watch it in theaters.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Interesting. Are you a fan of that franchise?
Sort of. Halloween? Not really. Sort of.
Okay. Word. So that brings us right into what are we watching? What are we doing? How are we spending our time at home? I started watching The Expanse this week on Amazon Prime. It's really good. Of course, I'm a big fan of the books. I've read them all. My only downside about this is that I feel it's a little... Like, it's paced really well, but because I know the characters, I want them to get like to where I know them. You know, like I want their relationships to be established. So I'm kind of like, come on, come on, come on. But I think as a TV show, it's paced really well, and it works really well. I highly recommend it. And then this one caught me by surprise, because last weekend, I was kind of like, what am I doing with my time here Sunday night? And I just happened to pop on HBO and noticed Westworld Season 3 started. And my word, man, the opening episode... Usually, like, they're slow or whatever. This was, like, I kept checking the time because I was like, is there two episodes? Like, there's so much stuff going on. So I really, really enjoyed Season 3 and the beginning, and I'm very excited for where it goes. And that's been about it.
Are you up to speed? Like, would you have known how Season 2 ended? Like, were you, like, did you remember Season 2?
I did. But I also... just randomly watched like Let's Review Everything before I started it as well.
I did too. The reason why I mention that is because for any of our listeners that are interested in dipping into Westworld,
what?
I dipped to Westworld, and I was a big fan of Season 1, and then just by coincidence, I actually never saw anything from Season 2.
Oh.
But I was able to pick up... I watched Episode 1 of Season 3 and loved it, just like you. It was exciting. It was fun. I did not feel particularly handicapped by not having been up to speed with Season 2. So, you know, you need to know the general premise of the whole storyline, but I'm sure that there were like interesting details that I sort of missed or backstories that I'm not benefiting from, but I followed episode one and was pretty well up to speed, and yeah, I can't wait to keep at it.
I hypothesize that you may have more trouble when they start getting to Maeve's storyline.
Could be.
Because she had a lot of growth. The rest of the stuff, you're right, like, it's not as, you just have to know they got out.
Right.
And that's about it. So,
hey, look who it is. There's Kayla.
I know.
Kayla!
Hey! Hi. Live studio audience.
A lot of people think her name is Kayla, but common little known fact, it's actually pronounced Kaylo.
Kaylo.
Kaylo. Yeah, it's spelled like the traditional spelling, but we pronounce it Kaylo with an exclamation point.
Oh, okay.
So what we've been doing is, I told you about Westworld. Kayla and I and Marley and Amy wrote a dry erase board because, like I mentioned, you're still going to work.
Yeah.
But we're home.
Whoa. That's tough.
We're home living the dream. No, it's not tough. It's the easiest thing we could do. It's a very small sacrifice to make in light of everybody like yourself and the truckers and the healthcare workers that are out there trying to keep the world spinning. But I mention it because we actually have a lot of time on our hands.
What?
So I want to assure you, David.
Oh, please.
Marley and I have downloaded Dune to an audiobook. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Amy downloaded Dune on Audiology or something like that.
Amazon Audio.
And Marley and I are committed, we're going to do Dune during the quarantine.
Whoa!
I mean, I don't want to say hero. I don't want to throw hero around a lot, you know, but I'm just saying.
I mean, you're no Willy PC, but...
But so what we've been doing as a family, we've been watching Veep. We started Veep again from season one. We watched Christmas Vacation. That was a great movie. Not Christmas Vacation. We went back to the original. We're going to watch all the Vacation movies, you know, in order. So we watched the original Vacation. Marley has us watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
You hip to that show?
I'm not.
Yeah, you're all right.
I'm not. I'm all right. I can, I'll be fine.
You're all right. Yeah. But if you have teenage or daughters in college or sons in college who are into this show and you're looking for something to do with them, it's fun. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed it. I'm not sure if I would have enjoyed it if I was just like hanging out watching it by myself. But we all had a good time watching it. But here's my recommendation.
Yeah.
Oh, one last thing, just to finish painting the picture. We also have a massive and very difficult jigsaw puzzle of the Sistine Chapel going.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of that. But here's no kidding around. There's a movie I found on Netflix.
Hold on.
All right. Are you going to sit down?
Yeah. I hit my cat next to me, tried to make her make a noise, but it didn't work.
All kidding aside, there's a movie called Shimmer Lake.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of this movie?
No. What's it on?
It's on Netflix, and it stars Rainn Wilson.
Okay.
Dwight from The Office.
Rainn Johnson, got it.
It's a basically sort of a murder mystery, bank robber, thriller type of movie. And first of all, it's amazing. And second of all, what makes it unique is that the movie starts with the end of, like, the story. So it sort of starts with Friday.
There's a record scratch, and he's like, I bet you thought of wondering how I got here.
Yeah. And then it pretty much is a record scratch, and then there's Thursday. And then there's a record scratch, and it's Wednesday. And then there's a record scratch, and it's Tuesday, when they robbed the bank. You know what I mean? And so it's really neat how it sort of reveals a different piece of the plot with each day. But I love it's a very creative storytelling way, the way that they, you know, do the whole thing in reverse chronology.
Wow.
Really creative.
Speaking of which, I recommended to you the movie Predestination.
Yes.
Which I feel like you took me seriously, but I'm not pounding home as much as you need. Like,
Where do I find Predestination?
It should be on Netflix. Okay. That's where I watched it.
All right.
And it's a time travel movie. All
right?
Right. And it has Ethan Hawke in it and some girl that you might recognize. I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
But I'll just, this one note. There's a character that proves to be their own parents.
Nice.
Through time travel. So, yesterday, next week, right. When we talk about it. Yeah.
You stole my line. I was going to say something like that.
I want to walk you to see it so that you can confuse me even though I know what's going on.
Oh, man. All right. Well, listen, you know, I send good vibes to everybody, and we'll do this again next week. We'll keep the podcast going regardless of the Rona.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to let us know what you've been watching, what you've been doing during the Rona, give us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. We'd love to hear from you and interact during this exciting stay-at-home time.
You know, all of it, remember Shady Lady told us that we should put bumper stickers on their cars?
Yeah.
Now everybody's car is in the driveway.
Well, it all depends on how you look at it. That's the perfect time to add cosmetic flair.
That bumper sticker's not doing anybody any good.
That's true.
This is a time to go back to plan A. Tell your friends.
Oh, tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Yeah. Forget the bumper sticker. We're off bumper stickers.
Off bumper stickers. Do us a favor. When you're talking to your friend because you need someone to talk to, hey, I got all this time. Why don't you listen to this podcast?
David, what if I don't have any friends?
Well, you can just tell me.
Oh, there you go.
Because I'm your friend.
I'm your friend.
We're their friend.
You got at least two friends, so you can write us and tell us about the Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah, I'm dying to find out. So, all right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Party on.
Party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.